they see the beast unveiled and realize it's Adolf, they're going to freak out and flee. What have we done? We made a covenant with this guy. We gave up our sovereignty to this guy. We trusted him to protect our temple worship. Now look who it is. And he's put up an image of himself. He's allowed the Jewish Antichrist to put up an image of himself in the Holy of Holies in our temple. By the way, when you hear the altar being used again by the Jews on their temple mount, boy, we're getting really close, aren't we? So that will be what triggers the Great Tribulation. And then this sixth seal will be the cosmic darkening, and it will cut it short. See, the tribulation won't last the whole second 3.5 years because the sixth seal opened in heaven by the angel will cut it short by cosmic darkening. The beast will no longer be able to persecute, arrest, and kill those that don't take the mark. And so that will cut him short. I'm so glad God's not going to let it last 3.5 years. He's going to step in and cut it short. And when he does, you know the rapture is the next thing. And before the seventh seal, the rapture is going to be poured out. And by the way, the rapture and the sealing of the 144,000 all happen in Revelation chapter 7. And then Revelation 8 is the seventh seal, and that's when this scroll is opened, and the wrath of God is poured out, and it will be poured out in what are called, and I'm going to set my Bible here, and I'm going to ask you guys, but I'm going to picture it. How will the wrath of God be poured out? This is the big scroll of the wrath of God. Remember, there are two wrath of Gods. There's the little scroll that we've been studying, but there's the big scroll of the wrath of God. And how is the big scroll poured out? It's poured out by angels doing what? Seven angels. You know? What is it? Oh, she got it. Good girl. Man. Yeah. Sometimes I get surprised. Seven trumpets. And they're going to blow one after the other. And their judgments are going to be long-lasting. I mean, they're pretty long-lasting because it's going to be the rest of the 3.5 years. And what portion of the world will be mostly affected by these trumpets? Yep, Joe?
1/3.
Right, 1/3 of the earth. And it's going to just pour out judgment on the fresh water, on the salt water, on the green grass and trees of 1/3 of the earth. In the atmosphere, there's going to be smoke and it's going to be darkened. It's just a tremendous time of God's wrath being poured out on the earth. Will we be here for that if you're saved? Sarge?
No.
God has not appointed us to wrath. 1 Thessalonians says that, 5 verse 9. We are not appointed to wrath. So we'll be raptured between the sixth and seventh seal. In Revelation 7, you see the raptured saints in heaven praising God. You see the sealed Jews on earth being protected during the wrath of God. They're not yet saved, but they haven't taken the mark. Thank God for that. All right, now we have been studying, and we're getting ready, and we've been studying in Revelation 15, and there on top of a certain place is the Lord, and he has 144,000 with him. And does anybody know in Revelation 15, and by the way, Revelation 11 and 15 go together in the timeline. Revelation 12 talks about the big cosmic warfare between God and Satan throughout history. Revelation 13 talks about the beast and the Antichrist taking over the world. But then Revelation 14 gets back to the timeline of chapter 11. And we've been studying that timeline, and we found out in Revelation 14 that the Lord went on top of Mount Zion with the 144,000. I gave away the answer, but where did he find the 144,000? Remember, at the end of the 7 years, the Lord is going to touch down on the earth, and when he touches down the earth, Daniel chapter 12 verse 11 talks about another number of days after the 7 years that will allow for this rest of the wrath of God to be poured out on the world. He needs overtime. He needs a few more days to finish judging this world so he can take it over. And Daniel 12:11 talks about that. How many days?
30
extra days in Daniel 12:11. You can see that before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. By the way, after those 30 days, there's going to be another 45 days. That's in Daniel 12:12. Another 45 days. That's to make a transition. So after the devastation of all these judgments, God can do a cleanup operation and get everything in place for the big millennium, the big rollout of his kingdom. By the way, that's the theme of the Bible, Christ coming back and reigning over the earth and putting the mediatorial kingdom back in place that Adam lost. And that's what this cosmic warfare has been all about. And so you and I are living in the days just prior to all these things. And so we are like my wife when she was having our first baby, Dr. McIntyre. We went to the hospital all the way out in Tunkhannock, and she was having these contractions, and we thought, surely this is labor. And I'm driving out there, and he said, no, these are just, I guess, Braxton Hicks contractions. They weren't real labor yet, but he said, you're sitting on go. You're sitting on go. I remember him always saying, you're sitting on go. And we're sitting on go. We're not into the 70th week yet. I've had a lot of people ever since the 1980s, because I've been here a while, ever since the 1980s. And they've been telling me, we're in the 70th week. I say, nope, that's not. You're not in the 70th week. Even if the temple gets rebuilt, even if Donald Trump gets in there and helps the Jews, you know, so they can rebuild it, doesn't mean he's the Antichrist. It doesn't mean it. The beast will confirm with the Jews the Mosaic Covenant. That meant that they may be already practicing it up on the Temple Mount before the beast comes in there. He'll confirm it. In other words, he'll guarantee them 7 years of peace and safety and say, you can do your covenant. All you have to do is join the European Union, because he's going to be over all Europe. Remember, Hitler tried to conquer all Europe and did, pretty much. And he tried to conquer Russia and he was foiled. But when he comes back, he's going to be able to do it. And so the Jews are going to not recognize him, and they're going to give up their national sovereignty. That's Isaiah 28:15-18. And Daniel 9:24-27 talks about him letting them practice for 7 years their temple sacrifices on the mount. That will begin this. And if you really know your Bible, you should be able to see that. And then that's when we have pandemics. We already are having pandemics. They're already starting to launch them. We'll have the pandemics. We'll have earthquakes in diverse places, which is HAARP. It's like controlling the weather, controlling biowarfare, causing famines and death. This will all be during causing race wars. That's another way. Now, who's doing all of this? God is allowing it, but who's doing the beginning of sorrows? Joel?
The devil
and the beast. Right. And what they're doing is trying to set up a world government, because all these crises, like Rahm Emanuel, who is a Democrat leader in the party. Rahm Emanuel worked with Bill Clinton. He used to say, never let a crisis go to waste. So they have all these crises. Right now, they're planning other crises. Right now, the globalists, they want another pandemic. They want banking problems so they can set up their CBDC, central bank digital currency, and have us all under one digital currency and get rid of all other money so they can control your money, control your buy. That's like the red Chinese communists. They control the money, and people get points. And if you don't do what they want you to do, they take away your money. And so this is where we're going eventually. We're praying for God to give us a delay, but this is where we're going, and that's all the beginning of sorrows. And right in the middle here, he comes to absolute power, and that's when the Jews run and hide. Now, when Jesus pours out his wrath and he touches down at the beginning of the 30 days, at the end of the 7 years, who are the first people he saves? Who said that? The Jews, the 144,000 Jews. That's on day one. And he goes to what country? He actually touches down, not in Jerusalem. What country? Sorry? Jordan, which is ancient Edom, which is modern-day Jordan, southeast of Jerusalem. He's going to touch down there in the wilderness areas and bring the 144,000 out of hiding. Then he's going to go to the west and in Mount Sinai and get on that and flatten Mount Sinai, I guess. And then he's going to get Jews out of the Judea wilderness that have been hiding. Then he's going to come back to the east and north and come up the Jordan River, get Jews out of hiding. All the while, people are going to be trying to fight him and stop him. And he's going to have their blood on him because he's going to be conquering. And all this great army of Jews are going to follow him. And they're becoming believers. Now, that's on day one and two. Day three, he goes across the Jordan River and into Jerusalem. Day three. And what do we call this 30 days? The 30-day what? Yeah. Reclamation period. It's the reclaiming of the earth. And the Lord, on day three, goes into Jerusalem. And according to Hosea 6:2, what happens on day three? Yes. The whole rest of the nation of Israel is now saved. Took that long. Took all that to get them saved. How many survived the great tribulation and day of the Lord? One third. And that whole third will be saved according to Romans 11, 25 and 26. So day four, he does something else. Does anybody know what he does on day four? This is the Lord now with this whole entourage. Now the whole nation of Israel saved. He's got to do something on day four. I'll give you a hint. People have been watching something on TV. They've been watching it. Sarge? Yes.
Come up here.
They were killed on day one. First, the Lord raised them from the dead, and they stand up. And remember, they have had power to call plagues upon the earth. We believe it's Moses and Elijah. And the Jews have been watching for Elijah to come. Every time they have Passover, they set a place for Elijah. Can you imagine if you're alive seeing Elijah preach in Jerusalem? And Moses and Elijah, and they'll be raised from the dead. And you can see that on a big screen TV. Raised from the dead, and then, yes, come up hither. They'll come right up to heaven. They'll see them ascend to heaven. Now, by that time, the world will know they're fighting God. They'll worship Hitler. They'll worship Satan openly, because Satan is going to say, look, there's a battle between me and God, and I'm going to win. And we're both evolved out of primordial soup, but I'm going to win. And there's a lot of deception that's going to come. Watch for UFOs to become a big factor. And watch for UFOs to be used by the globalists. And the UFOs, either the globalists manufacture it, or the real UFOs will be satanic beings. Devils who will masquerade as though they've traveled from a distant galaxy, and they're helping us to have world government. So all these things are ready to break upon us. Now listen, if you want to get your news, do not listen to mainstream media. The CIA and the FBI is corrupt in their leadership. They're very bad in their leadership. They need to be cleaned out. And the CIA, FBI, NSA and a lot of these agencies, they're part of the deep state, and they will say, if anybody talks like me, he's a nut, he's a wacko, and a fool for Christ. You know, you want to get good news, get on to Infowars.com, Infowars.com, Infowars.com. You're going to get the true news. It may seem strange, but it's very good journalism.
I remember correctly. I remember Dad having this talk with me when I was a boy.
Yeah.
The CIA under George H.W. Bush,
yes,
and the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, when they had an interview, guys like you, they had make-believe files and they were able to get them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm on their files. And if they do a purge, we'll be the first ones to go or try to put us in camps and that type of thing. We know where it's going. Where this world is going, and that's why Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. They crucified Christ. They crucified the disciples of Christ. So do not be surprised by these things. Unfortunately, so many churches in America are in la-la land. They think we're out of here before any of this happens, so they're not looking for these signs preceding the coming of Christ. So On day four, he does that. Then on day five, he goes up on top of Mount Zion, and he's got the 144,000 following him. They see a song in heaven being sung by the raptured saints, because we're already in heaven. By the way, we're playing harps. That's no lie. I can't play a harp, but I guess I'll play one then. Playing harps and singing. And the 144,000 will be able to sing that song. And so God can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. He can deal with Jews, which are his earthly people, and us, the church, his heavenly people. And he's doing that on day five on Mount Zion. Now, there is going to be another day that we haven't talked about. It's day six. And I've been up there on Mount Zion, and I've walked down the Kidron Valley and up another mountain that overlooks the Temple Mount. Where on day six is he going to walk down with 144,000 and all the rest of the Jews now that he's saved? And he's going to go up on another hill. It's a mountain, but it's hill, actually. What's it called? The Mount of what? Sarge? Mount of Olives. And go to Zechariah 14, because I'm going to show you in Zechariah 14 exactly what's going to happen on day six. This is all extra stuff for you here. We didn't really have it in the notes, but I like to share this. Day six, and you say, man, a lot of stuff here. Well, the more you hear it repeated, the more you begin to get the picture, right? It's like a baby. The more you talk, the baby can form words and then understand. So Zechariah, and that's the second to the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 14. And let us go to, let's find, if I can get it here, verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. And look what it says. This is the day of the 30 days, and his feet, whose feet? The Lord's, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall what? Cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Now let's stop right there. When he walks up on the Mount of Olives, the thing is going to cleave and create a valley running east and west. Now, if you go on the Mount of Olives like I have done, and I've come up from the other side of the Mount of Olives, on the east side coming west, if you come up, you're coming up from the Dead Sea. And we swam in the Dead Sea. You come up. And the west is the Mediterranean Sea, if you go far enough west. So that valley is going to cleave right in the middle of the mountain, and it's going to run to the Dead Sea and to the Mediterranean Sea. And so that's where we are so far in our reading. So let's continue on. It's a very great valley, and it says half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. I can picture it. So east and west is the valley, Dead Sea, Mediterranean. The mountain moves to the south and to the north to create this east and west valley. And so what's going to happen when the temple is on top of Mount Zion, later on, when the Lord puts the temple there, the millennial temple, water will come out, fresh water, from under the doorway to the temple, which is the east doorway of the temple. And that water will flow, and it will flow out to the Dead Sea and make all the dead fish, I mean, there are no fish in it, make all the Dead Sea live again, have fish, and it's going to change it from a brackish, salty thing to fresh water. And that's all going to be part of it. And that beautiful stream is going to be there during that time. But this all happens on day six. But look at verse 5. It says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. A-Z-A-L. Now, there's no place called Azel in Israel. So this is something that's going to be new when he steps on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to be down inside that valley. And who's going to flee there when it says, ye shall flee there? Who do you think he's referring to? Who would flee? Yep. Jews. All the Jews that just got saved. Why would they be there now on day six? What? Why are they going into that valley? Why is the Lord putting them in that valley? Diane? Yeah, to protect them from the little scroll of God's wrath. There's seven of these, and they're called vials in the King James, V-I-A-L-S. These vials are shallow bowls that you, if you eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken, you get your hands all greasy. You know, they didn't have hot and cold running water, so you put your hands in there, wash out the grease. You go to a window in your house, the Jews, and they would flip their wrist, and that greasy water would come out. And if you were walking by and got hit in the face, Mike could knock your glasses off, and we wouldn't like it. And I wouldn't want to be hit by these bold judgments, because they're not going to be over one-third of the earth. They're going to be over all the earth. And they'll take place between day six and what day? Day what? 30. What happens on the 30th day, Diane? That's the final judgment of the Lord, the final wrath of God. Battle of Armageddon. So on day six, the Lord, after he does that on the Mount of Olives and hides the Jews, where is he going to go? He's going to go back up to heaven between day six and day 30. And then come back down on day 30 on a white horse with the armies. People say, well, the saints are coming with him. No, he wouldn't have his bride go and shed blood with him. No, his bride's going to be in heaven in New Jerusalem when he does this. He's going to come with angels, and they're going to judge the world. And that's called the Battle of Armageddon. The beast will have all of the armies of the world, the great UN army, and they will put their most technological weapons against the Lord, try to stop him from coming back. Russia will be, with China will be, with the Anglo-Americans will be. The whole world will be united against the Lord and against his Christ. And what's the Lord going to do? Psalm 2, he's going to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. And he'll pour out his wrath upon this world. And that will be the final wrath of God, and will end the wrath of God. And in one moment, he will destroy these armies of the world, and the word of God will do it by the word of his power. So that will be on day 30 of that wrath of God being poured out on the world. So question is, he goes back to heaven between day 6 and day 30. What is he going to be doing then? Now remember, Revelation 11 goes with 14 in the timeline, and then 15. Just takes up. So the question is, what is the Lord going to be doing in heaven during day six of the 30 day to day 30? Does anybody know that? Diane has it? Diane! Wow, she said the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's see if she's right. Go to Revelation 11, because remember, that's right in the timeline. Remember, 12 and 13 are parentheses. So Revelation 11 goes with 14 and 15. Revelation 11, and let's see if she's right. Now, by the way, as you're turning there, when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, remember, that is the third woe. There are three woes. Ho, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. There's the fifth, sixth, and seventh angel, three woes. One of those is devils being led out of the bottomless pit. One of those is a great satanic army that's going to invade and kill one-third of the mankind. But the seventh angel, when he sounds his trumpet, and by the way, he's going to sound it on top of Mount Zion in conjunction with the Lord going up there. When he sounds his trumpet, what is that woe? That woe is all of these that are going to be contained in that trumpet, all these vile judgments, these bold judgments. So that's what that seventh trumpet is all about. So go to Revelation 11 now, and verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." What's he doing? He's reclaiming the earth. He's blowing that trumpet. He's saying, now this is it. We're taking over. And we're going to pour out the final wrath to do it. So that's what he's saying. But I'm not done. And verse 16 says, "And the 24 elders," those are high angelic beings in heaven, "which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to..." Do they sound like they're worried in heaven about what's going on? I don't think so. They're praising God. The closer you get to God, the more you know he's in control. Now here's verse 18. This is where I wanted to go. And the nations were angry. They didn't like it. And thy wrath is come. God's angry. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shall destroy them which destroy the earth. So, seven trumpets sounds on day five. Day six, he's going to split the Mount of Olives. Then he's going back up into heaven. So according to what I just read in verse 18 of chapter 11, what happens between day 6 and day 30? Well, you know Diane had it right. The judgment, not of the damned, but who's being judged here? Who's being judged? Diane knows. Anybody else? Really, raise your hand. Who's being judged here? Sarge? Kathy, believers are being judged. You and I, we're in heaven. We're in heaven then. We've been in heaven ever since. Someday during the second 3.5 years. So for 1.5 years, we've been in heaven. Or however long, because I don't know the day or the hour. We're in heaven, but now we're being judged. Not to determine heaven and hell. That's already determined the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're saved. You understand that. You're not appointed to wrath. Thank God for that. He took our wrath, beloved. But we're being judged for our rewards based on how faithful you were when you were in a mortal body. I always say, when people say, how are you doing? Gloriously. If you were not faithful to come to church in your mortal body, if you were not faithful when it came time to serve the Lord in your mortal body and to give and to go and to give financially, if you were not faithful in giving the gospel in your mortal body, you could lose all your rewards. And what are the rewards? Land in the kingdom to rule over and to reign over. And that won't just last for 1,000 years, that'll last forever, because when 1,000 years are done, the kingdom continues in the eternal state, and your reward continues. So if you lose your reward, you lose it forever. You don't lose heaven, but you lose reward. And so when you save your body, you're losing rewards rather than use, you know, your body to serve the Lord. So that's a good motivation for us to realize we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to get rewarded for what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to get rewarded or lose rewards for what I'm supposed to do. We all have our individual accountability to him, and you don't get away with it. You think, oh, I'm getting away with it. You lose rewards. So you're robbing yourself, like I always say. If you don't give tithes and offerings, you're not robbing. Well, you are robbing God, but you're really robbing yourself of those rewards. And so I want to have an abundant entrance into that everlasting kingdom, 2 Peter chapter 1. And how do I do that? By growing in grace and growing in knowledge, because your service comes out of your knowledge of the Lord and your relationship to the Lord. So you want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord so that you can have an abundant entrance into that everlasting kingdom. All right, we're just ready to wrap it up, but let me go back to the notes. Now, the notes are there. Let me see if there's anything left that I can give you, because we covered a lot of what's in the notes. That's your assignment. Go over your notes and fill them in and study Revelation chapter 15 with your notes there. And you will learn so much if you go over that. It's going to be a blessing. And share it with others and invite others out to class, because people are going to be ignorant of these things and they're going to be deceived. Sarge?
I had a question.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes away from here.
Yeah.
But I looked at the chart, particularly in the yellow. Does Ezekiel's war coincide with some of this?
Actually, this is a very interesting point. Ezekiel 38 and 39. There are wars called Jeremiah 49, which is the invasion of Iran. There are wars in Psalm 83, which are the Arab nations right around Israel. And there's Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe those wars are prior to the end times. They are coming very soon. They're between now and the setting up of the 70th week. And I don't have time to get into that. There's a lot there. But I have taught on that in the past. But we're emphasizing the very end time here. We're emphasizing the revelation. But that's a good question. Stay tuned on that one. All right. All right. You got your notes? See you next week.
One more thing,
Pete. Yes, sir.
When the angels are playing the trumpet, I think there's going to be, I hope it's a fight song that we're very familiar with.
Oh, I like that. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. I hear you, Sarge. Dun, 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 dun. I like it.
Oh, so far.
Yeah.
They told me I had to see my surgeon.
Yes.
I'm in